everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Thursday. Holy cow. It's 5:45. My name's John Holmberg. There's Brady Bogan. Got Brett Vesely in the chair. Big Dick Toledo. This is the Morning Sickness, and we're off and running. My last 24 hours with my skeleton intact. This is it. My now, and from here on out, I will have less of my original skeleton.
Countdown begins.
This time tomorrow. What's that?
The countdown begins.
Yeah, the countdown is on, Brett. Trust me.
And that shoulder's pulled pork.
Oh, it's, yeah. Well, that part I'm not worried about. That can heal again. Yeah. You know, and they chop off a chunk of your bone. It weighs on you for a few days. It's look, we talk. It's time now to talk. Old man talk. What's wrong with your body? I was with a 93-year-old man last night and his 89-year-old wife.
Was this to make you feel better going into it?
They're look, older people like when you have an operation coming up, and they demanded we come by before I go under because they lose everybody. Like, and you got to put yourself in their shoes. Every time they hear that when somebody's going under anesthesia, that person doesn't come back. So they're like, we have to have to. So they had like a last supper with me to calm themselves down about everything's going to be okay. I'm like, Paula, Fred, you're amazing. Don't worry.
Just real.
It calmed me down because I'm like, Jesus, they think I'm going to die. They're like, and you know what? In a week, we're going to be celebrating together again, and we'll see each other, and you're going to be there, and you're going to be fine. Okay, I know. It's just a shoulder surgery. We should be good. That's right, and you're good. And I'm like, and we had a great time. They're ridiculously fun people, but drinkers. Man, do they drink? And it's just great. Yeah,
we love meet them.
We love plowing just through the vodka with them. But yeah, so I had that last night, and we went out there, and the wind was just crushing everybody. They gave us a COVID test as we went in. Nothing worse than the wind whipping around, and then they say, you got to get a COVID test before you see him. I'm like, all right. And you didn't realize that the wind had made your nose just a booger harvest mess. And so the last thing you'd want is this nurse to shove a Q-tip in there, and oh, sure enough, she's just pulling out strains and strands and chunks, puts it in that little book and shuts it. We'll know in 10 minutes. I'm like, you know now that something's going on in here. The wind was brutal yesterday.
It was comforting. Yeah, I was laying down, getting my teeth cleaned, looking out the window as the blustery dust storm's happening.
Crushing.
And someone's picking away at my gums. So comfortable.
That made you feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to watch the beautiful, all the palm trees fly
and
by.
And the lovely sound.
Yeah. I like when hygienists try to have like small talk with you. There's got to be a thing where we can like bring hygienists over from Russia and they don't speak much English and we don't have to have that weird. So, remember last time you were here, you talked about your dogs? Like, yeah, that was last time.
You still got them?
Yeah.
What are their names?
Like, you really don't care. You're killing time because we're awkwardly close together. There's no reason for this conversation. Tell me something horrible that you've seen in your life, or give me like and they remember like every 6 months. They remember the last time they talked to you. I think they take notes and stuff.
Well, I came in. I had a new person this time.
Oh boy,
my regular girl was already doing some. Had another patient. I go in there, so the new person. It started off with, "So you're the one with the talk show."
Yeah, they love that stuff. Oh, once they find out it's a radio thing, they're the best because they're almost all
tell
like
me about
60.
Your talk show.
Yeah, tell me about what you do on
it. It's called Ellen, and
and I always like they're 60 and stuff, and they always say like. Well, I'll have to tune in. I'm like, don't.
Why?
Just don't. Don't do it because it's not for you.
Well, I can handle some blue humor if that's what you mean.
I'm like, well, because you say blue humor, I know you're not going to like this. I always say it's like standing in a men's locker room and you just don't know. You don't listen to the show. Well, I'm going to. You can't tell me. I'm like, this is the best thing I can do to get you to listen. I'm telling you not to. Don't do it.
I blew it because when she said that, you know, so you're the one with the talk show. Mm-hmm. I blew ending a conversation with, we'll be right back.
We're going to take a little break here. We'll be right back, hygienist, with more of my teeth cleaning after this. Yeah, the hygienists are hilarious because they always have that moment. Well, I have that small talk with doctors all week long. I heard you talking about this on the radio. Did you hear it? Well, no, somebody told me about it. Evidently, it went pretty good. I don't know what you're talking about. Moynihan did it yesterday. We were making fun of that business meeting that happened outside our window here, the horrible corporate thing.
The draft.
Yeah, and they all went down and said, I heard you were making fun of me. And I'm like, it's all available on podcast. I think all of you took a kick in the nuts, and you deserved it. Oh, that meeting yesterday on that patio. Hilarious. So we were laughing about it the whole time. I went downstairs to talk to the salespeople. I'm like, are you guys all pumped? Did that thing get you pumped? Because your numbers are way down. You've been sucking hind teeth for a while. So they had to have that thing. That's because you guys suck. And they're like, you're such a dick. Like,
Coach Clark showed up?
That's because I was true about it. Yeah, it was. Yeah, Coach Clark was there. You suck. None of you will sell like Derek Zellner sells. That's for god darn sure. You suck. Period.
Little video yesterday, because you're all poor.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
That was good.
It's true, but it's, yeah, so I went down there and I talked to the salespeople. I'm like, oh, it was brutal. I'm like, of course it was brutal. It was a corporate necessity. They came out and did a rah-rah meeting for you guys. So funny, but all of them were worried that we were talking about it. And we talked about Moynihan falling off chairs and all sorts of stuff, and Wintermeyer dying and all sorts of crazy stuff. And all of them were, none of them went back to work right after the thing. They all went back down to their computers to hear how we ripped them. I'm getting that, you know, later. I get the text. Nice job on the making fun of me.
And analyzing their draft picks.
Yeah, it was a draft. It was a client draft. Oh, it was hilarious. But yeah, I made fun of them. And then all of them started to, they are dark too. They're dark humored too, because a few of them said, hey, good luck on that slab Friday. Once they realized they were teased, they started to wish me dead, which I think is a bridge too far. I never wish them dead. I just hope they have to go through those meetings.
You went right to HR.
Yeah, I should. I should have gone to HR.
I think I'd rather go get a surgery than sit through that meeting yesterday. Oh, that thing looked brutal.
I would injure myself on purpose to not have to sit through one of those rah-rah meetings. Ugh, the worst.
Only thing that would make it funnier is if that wind did kick in early.
Yeah, why couldn't we got that 2-3 hours earlier?
That would have been amazing if that screen would have flown away. All I can think about is Paula last night as I was leaving. Digging that old lady tap on the top of your hand and looking me in the eyes, very concerned.
For one last time.
One last time. That's all it was. She just thought, you know what? No matter how this ends, just know people love you. How this ends? It's a shoulder surgery.
Because whether it's you or me.
Well, yeah. Like, she's thinking about it all the time. But for me, going under anesthesia because it just makes them nervous. Because that's dope. And you know what she showed me yesterday? I've never seen this. I've never seen a 9-year-old woman's, like, she has her address book. So she said something. She goes, I don't ever bother you on the phone, John, because I know you're busy. It's the way America should be. Bother the girl. Don't bother the man. He's working almost always. He doesn't need to be hassled by some stranger. Hilarious. She goes, I have your number, but I don't bother it because you're busy and you're working. I'll call her. And I start laughing. I'm like, that's great. And I said, but I don't have my new number. I have a different number. And she goes, oh, let's see. And she opens up her Rolodex of numbers. It's just my name, my old number, my address, and then everybody around me is X'd out.
Oh, the circle of death.
The whole book is just X'd.
Did you say anything?
No, I looked at it and I'm like, I'm the only one left on the page, by the way. Like, nobody else on the H page is alive. I'm the last one.
You playing tic-tac-toe? What's going on here?
It's just a straight line, and it's just X'd out. Nope, they're gone. But, like, two names. So it'd be like, you know, Gladys and Phil Henderson.
What if it had a highlight underneath and Phil?
Yeah, it gives the updates of that they're gone. And then I've got a yellow line nothing written in my highlight yet.
Yeah.
Like, it's coming. But the whole H page is gone. So I just kind of trudged forward a couple pages. There's a few clean pages, but not many. Most of them have at least one X.
Yeah.
It's their whole, and this book is huge. And she goes, I should get an iPhone, but I don't want to deal with it. I do it the old-fashioned way. Just write your number here on this line. I'm like, all right. And I'm looking at all the X'd out people, and I'm like, this is what life comes to. This is what it all ends up being.
She carries X a book off. Of obituaries.
It's just the whole, seriously.
That's what
you go into your 90s. And essentially, all you have to do all day long is X out the people that you used to be friends with.
I don't think I want to live that long then.
And then you make new friends. I don't either, but they're fun. So it's hard to say, I don't want to be like them. But I actually kind of do want a book of X's. I want to outlive them all. So I started looking at it like maybe they're in that weird competition. We got three left before we can check out. And then we've outlived everyone we were friends with. That's kind of a game at a certain point. If you just keep the brain moving to say we're not gonna be outlived, then you get that one stubborn son of a bitch who's 97 who's just chugging right along, running a marathon this weekend over at the Sun City West. We'll never X him out. They have a couple pages that need some work, but the X's are all and black. There's nothing fun about the like
now, how much,
ink or it's just black ink.
You don't travel much, or you try not to for weddings. But when you're younger,
no. Let's rephrase
when
that.
You're younger. Let me.
I won't travel for a wedding.
Yeah, but did.
Yeah, that's you've why I don't it, now.
So then it starts as you get older. That traveling is the other way. As younger is weddings.
Yeah.
You get older, it's funerals.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I'd travel for a funeral now. I don't think so.
Not with Zoom.
I don't think I know anybody outside of the state
right
that cares
now,
if I'm there.
Well, right now it's easier because they're, I mean, they don't allow the
right.
Well,
yeah, even,
for
even
the most part. But.
COVID being gone, I traveled for my grandma's funeral.
I think I'll have some.
Yeah, you might have. Well, I mean, your parents, they live in a different place.
Right. And then there's also some friends back there, too, that would be.
Yeah,
there's probably four or five.
You feel like you'd have to go?
Yeah, I feel like I'd.
See, I don't get funerals because you can send stuff and it's the same.
You can, but there's something that's, you know, when I went to the first one where my buddy was really pretty young, 46.
That was a shocker.
It was really good to see other friends there.
Sure.
Gather there. That was the part that you're, you know, you are celebrating his life, what you can, even though he was kind of young.
Just don't know. I don't think, I'm just thinking about it. I don't know that, you know, like I got aunts and uncles. I like them. But I don't know if I'm going to foot the bill for the flight.
That's in Vegas.
Well, now, here we go. If any of them move to like a place in Vegas,
chapel and-
that's
exactly
different. No, I might.
JSX your ass up
right,
there.
I do have to say that. My friend in Vegas, Erica, if she passed, I'd go to her funeral. Because I'd have to like try to figure out who my new casino hostess is and like where do I stand now and what are my points.
Instead of dirt on the, if she had a, you know, cat, would you flip some chips?
Oh, yeah. No, we would bury her and we'd make it rain on her. And
yeah.
Then, yeah. But yeah, I don't know that I travel for funeral. Trip did one where he found out the guy passed away and they were friends and ended up trying to fly all the way to New York and got caught in a storm and ended up in like North Carolina and had to turn around. And I'm like, that's the kind of stuff that I don't think I know anybody that's in my circle that I'm that close with. Like my dad's in Texas now and I told him, although Louis Moses just texted and he said, you go to Pratt's funeral if it was out of town. That's true. I do want to dance on that one. So if he had a funeral somewhere outside, okay, Louis's right. I will travel for a couple.
There are exceptions. There's one that'll
Louis's right.
It'll hit you every once in a while. Like, you know what? I am going to go.
Ah, you know what? He's getting buried in Montana. I'm going to go to that and I'm going to piss. I mean, to celebrate his life. Yeah. I don't know that I would have too many. Trip, I suppose. Because he's not getting tossed in the dirt here. That'll be in the CA. I might go a couple. I don't like funerals. Not because I just don't. I just think they're disingenuous a lot of times.
They always turn out to be like that reunion. Like, hey, man, I haven't seen you since the last funeral.
I leaned.
You
know.
Yeah, and that's kind of, there's nothing wrong with that.
Since the last funeral.
But you don't care. But it's almost like. Yeah. The person in the box is almost secondary to, not obviously not to, you know, first of the family, but I mean like, you know,
to
friends
the ancillary people,
yeah.
Right. And that I leaned on a casket once, not realizing because I saw my friend's brother was hit by a car years and years ago in a car wreck, and he died. And so I went to the funeral, and this really hot girl I used to work with at Tony Romas was there, and I didn't know they knew each other. And I'm up by the casket, and I turn and I see her, and all of a sudden I go into switch my mind back into freak mode. And I put my hand up on the thing. I'm like, what are you doing here? And she looked at me like, what in the world kind of question is that? And I'm like, oh, God, you don't ask that. And of course she's here for one reason. There's only one reason to be here. It's for
your
the sandwiches.
On his face.
Yeah. And it was closed up. But I just forgot kind of where I was, and I was standing. You had to walk around, and he's right in the middle of the room, and I just put my hand on. Well, what in the world are you doing here? And I'm like, oh, my God, John. Grasp the situation, but she was just
Brett, I guess
ridiculous.
You'd answer that question is if it was you that they were gathering for and people got together, how would you feel about that?
About what? Dead. It doesn't matter.
No,
how you
but
feel.
You're dead, but all of a sudden, if you knew that people were gathering there and they're getting together, they haven't seen each other in a long time, and they're having fun or celebrating?
I don't know. I might be like, bastards, I'm sitting here laying here. Why don't you pay some attention to me?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing I always think.
I think
that hits it.
Yeah.
Is because you didn't visit that person who's in the box or any of the other people the whole time, and it takes that to go out there. And I get it. I understand paying your respects and stuff, but I think there's got to be a better way I still think we should have living funerals. I think every few years you should say, you know what, we're going to have my funeral because I'm going to see you guys before I die. I think too many people are uncomfortable with death. And just say, I want my funeral while I'm alive. And then when it's over, you've already paid your respects, you've paid your due. And we have like it's kind of what a roast would be. But you go there and you basically say, we should all be in touch more often. Because you're right. It's like, hey, I haven't seen you since the last funeral. Means I saw you there. That covered the bases. And I've done nothing to be your friend since then. So, yeah.
And sometimes that keeps it, brings it back to life a little bit.
Sometimes.
Why aren't, the only time that I'm seeing you that you had a friendship is at a funeral.
Right.
And you always say, we should
do this more. Yeah. We did that with
it
my.
It never seems to work.
No, when my uncle died, my aunt came out, and we hadn't seen her in forever. And she was amazing. Brady was at the funeral, for God's sakes. And we're hanging out with my Aunt Connie, and we're like, I haven't seen you since I was like 12. And it's, great to see you again. I've seen her twice since, which is more than I did from 12 to like 35. But still, it was a.
I've gone back and
seen her a couple of times. You see her all the time because her food is amazing. They use so much real butter when they cook. I mean, those people
top
use
notch.
Butter and cream. They can make cereal with butter and cream. But it hasn't come to fruition. And when the last time I saw funeral.
Yeah.
So all this talk about being, we're as humans, we're terrible about that stuff. So, this is great. We've reunited, and somebody always makes that big proclamation. Sometimes it takes death for us to realize who our friends are. And you're like, because you're in that emotional thing. And then 2 days later, this dude's texting you like, what does this asshole want? You want me to fly to Florida to hang out with you? I haven't seen you. Look, wait till the next funeral. We'll be friends again. That's the disingenuous part, because I don't think
you
really...
Can you hold off until my spring break?
Yeah, you don't really go out of your way for your new funeral pal once it all settles down. When you're there, you feel like, no, we're going to be in touch again. We're going to... You don't. I did it with all my aunts and uncles at my grandma's funeral and all this. It's like, yeah, we got to be better about that. I've talked to my uncle once or twice. He comes out here, and he's got property here, and all the rest of them, not a peep. My aunt and uncle came out here. Another aunt and uncle came out here to visit all of us, I suppose, and just said, Phoenix is sort of far from Mesa. And I'm like, you came from Indiana to Mesa. That was like, do you want to hang out at the house? I'm like, come by and play some pool and we'll talk. And it's like, your mom's got some dinner. And I'm like, you guys don't want to make the drive to, okay. So I didn't see him and I haven't spoken to him since, not out of anger or anything, but it's just like, I get it. It's a long drive. Your mom's got a Volkswagen Beetle. No thanks.
Yeah.
And then I realized your company isn't worth a 20-minute uncomfortable ride in a Beetle. And I agree. I wouldn't ride in a Beetle to see me for 20 minutes. That sounds awful. So anyway, we're talking a lot about funerals, and tomorrow I'm going under. So thanks a lot, boys. That's really comforting. Chopping off some of my skeleton.
At least we won't have to travel. We can just...
You guys have it easy.
That's right.
All you have to do is some rerun memorial show. In fact, tomorrow eulogize me all day while I'm under. Some rerun show tomorrow or whenever, and you're off the hook. And then you got nothing. You got to go look for jobs. But other than that, I mean, big deal, right?
Yeah.
What would you do, I wonder? Like, let's say I croak tomorrow. Do you go and see how your contract pays out with Trip on my death? Did you keep my insurance?
No.
You didn't?
Oh, no.
Idiot. He had insurance on me for a little while.
Oh, really?
Did you ever get it?
No.
Oh, you never pulled the trigger on that? That was
bitch.
Dumb.
I should do that.
Yeah, you should.
I still got time.
Do you? You got 12 hours.
Any time.
Well, you got a few surgeries coming up.
They're not going to cover this surgery. It would be after that's over. They're not going to go proactive on a thing that's tomorrow. Risk, you're going to pay top dollar getting insurance on me today.
The insurance thing's out. If you survive this one, maybe I will dig into that one.
Because I got more coming.
Yeah.
All right.
But other than that, figuring out, what's the rest of the contract.
You know who I feel most sorry for if I die? Trip.
Oh, you know what sort of policy he's got on you?
No, not even that. No, he's got to fire all you guys. It's going to be really awkward. I know you've been through a lot. We all have. But I got to let you go. Because I've heard your show without him, and oh man, I'd rather be in his box. So that's tomorrow's show, by the way. You guys get to do another one without me. I'm going to listen tomorrow. I'm tuning in. Oh, it's going to be good. I should make a rule
now.
There,
call you right before you go under.
I will.
Or maybe why they hit you.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd take me out on the air. That'd be pretty fun. I'll have the attendant hold the phone and say, look, put me out.
Good night.
But yeah, I might say something ridiculous. The gold is under the master bedroom stairs. Huh? And then you guys dig up my house. Yeah, I think that would be the fun part is to have to unload you guys. Fire you. Larry would be, we're going to let you go too, Larry, just because. Never liked you. Tripp's got to go through with an axe. Maybe I'll fake my death just to see how that goes down.
Maybe they'll reform the Mo show and we can tag on to that.
I think Mo, I would like to say that if I don't make it through the surgery tomorrow, I would like to put my hat in the ring for Mo to come in and take my place. You guys have to sit and stare at Mo until that implodes. Every day.
So we're employed for another 2 weeks. Great. Thanks.
And also, one of my dying wishes, Brady, in this surgery tomorrow, I don't want any more old clips played. It would just be too painful. You have to go live with Mo the whole time. No reminiscing, no nothing. It's just, yeah, Brett's out. Brett's back on. Hey, everybody, it's midnight. We're doing the 3 o'clock sideshow.
We'll play What's in Mo's Box the whole time.
Yeah. And you put rubber gloves on all the way and play for real. Anyway, yeah, a lot of death talk. You don't hang out with 90-year-olds day and a half before surgery. You just
if the Mo thing doesn't work out, I'm going to be Little Woody.
Yeah, that'll work. Little Woody. I like that.
He's dead already. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's a boy. That's a, yeah, the 93-year-old man looking at you, and he said to me last night, Fred's hilarious because he's a man of few words, but when he talks, it's almost always funny. He goes, the key to the whole thing is don't be a pussy about it. I'm like, yeah, that is pretty much the key to the entire operation. He's gone under in his 90s a couple of times. He had his hips replaced when he was 89. They're like, you sure you want to do this? And he goes, yep. And he got him replaced, and he's dancing. He's like all over the place.
My dad gets a mole removed when he's 86.
Yeah, bled out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. Fred's hand just spontaneously started bleeding last night. Didn't bump into anything or whatever. It's just got
the pot sticker broken.
He's got pot sticker skin, and it's like he's see-through. He's like a Body Works exhibit from his elbows down. And it's kind of that old person arm of – it's not skin anymore. It's more like this – dark meat. I don't know what it is. I love this guy. So yeah, he's all right. But he just sits there and Paula goes, oh, Fred, your hand is bleeding. Yeah, well. And he just holds it up. She goes, I should buy stock in Band-Aids. I'll be right back. Comes back and he's just staring at it. He's got his napkin covered in blood. And he goes, yeah. Yeah, that's the one that opened up before. He doesn't care. He just starts gushing blood. And right there at the dinner, it's like, mm-hmm. Nobody in the place flinches. Gushing blood all over the dinner table, getting one of these going on. Yeah. Like a normal restaurant, like, oh, stop. Like, Texas girl wouldn't care because they blood and guts and
they
stuff.
They know how to seal it up.
They don't, Brady. They don't care
they
if you die.
Put gravy
in your,
on there.
They don't care if you die in their restaurant. I've almost done it. Yeah. So, yeah, he just started. But looking around, he's like, hey, you pussy. My anesthesia when I was 89. I was, what are you, Kanye's mom? You're not going out. I'm like, how do you know about Kanye's mom? What do you think of this beef with Tekashi 6ix9ine? I'm like, Fred, how do you know this stuff? I watch TMZ Live. I like
snitch.
Charles.
He's a snitch.
I like that Charles. So this is it. 24 hours remain with my current skeleton intact.
How's Megan?
They're not cutting her open. Who cares? It's my life, Brady. What's wrong with you? She's fine. And she's going to be in for a nightmare with me. I can't sleep on my back. There's going to be a lot of crying. There's going to be a lot of crying. She'll leave. Chilly. I give her till maybe Tuesday. There's no reason to stick around this nightmare.
You can't take it.
Look, there's so many better. I tell her this all the time. There's so many better options than her current situation. Gah. It's a look around. I mean, I could. Let's get you on the match.com.
Time for you to leave the nest.
That's enough. Don't you think? I've maxed out. That's enough. There's nothing more here. Now I'm broken and I'm a. 96% of my skeleton is still intact, and then I'm going to get more of it chopped off later this year. That's enough. Go find a full skeleton. That's what you need. You need a whole working full skeleton, not this, not whatever I've got going on. I'm 1 foot in the box. I'm way too young for this. They tell me that at the doctor every time. Let's get a wake-up song, preferably something about an intact.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Life. Damn it. Give it to us good and strong. 585-9800. Give us that wake-up song. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up! Arizona.
Arizona's most powerful rock radio station.
He said, fully erect. 98.